Hello, welcome back to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast podcast for a very special edition of Stat Nerd Thursday. Why is it special? Well, I mean, you know, every Thursday, every day we get to be spending Earth seconds together is special. But also, this is episode number 400 of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast podcast. Dalton, obviously, we thank the people who have been hanging with us for that long. We've come a long way. We appreciate all of you out there. But Dalton, my God, those early days of the show, number one, I remember recording some. Number one, it wasn't even called the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast, number one. And number two, I remember recording them with, like, Bluetooth headphones in an office. Remember the Yahoo office? I remember being in there recording that and talking to Liz when she sounded like she was in a friggin' tin can from her house. So it's out. We've made quite some strides here, buddy.
We have come a long way. We were going over the outlines of the first couple of shows. Some have dated more than others, but yeah, 400 episodes. This is exciting. A good time to talk some football on this milestone.
Yeah, no doubt. I believe producer John said that one of the early headlines was, "What's wrong with David Johnson?" To which now we can reply, a whole heck of a lot, buddy. That's what's going wrong with David Johnson. But anyways, all right, enough of ancient history. Let's live in the moment. Let's dig into some of the current news before we get into the stats that fantasy teams, fantasy managers need to know about. Let's dive in first to, oh God, speaking of blast from the past, Dalton, Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is the starting Jets quarterback. The Mike White era is over. What a shock. A New York-based storyline blew up in the national media and got a little too crazy. So the Mike White thing is done. Joe Flacco is starting. I got a lot of things on my mind, strangely, about this, but what is your reaction to this? Do you care at all when it comes to Jets players?
What's going on here in New York? My biggest concern is, I know you will share this one, is Elijah Moore actually split snaps last week with Keelan Cole. The more I looked into it, and I'm like, it becomes more of a risk if you do want to use him in DFS, and obviously a total unknown with Flacco at this stage. What did he throw, three passes last week? But man, Elijah Moore looks like a star in the waiting, and I believe you would further concur that with your film study. And yeah, I just like him to be unleashed, you know, and not be splitting work here, regardless of who plays quarterback. But yeah, it's a mess. I mean, their defense is like historically bad over the last month. I mean, it's really ugly stuff. You know, they have a new head coach who's supposed to be getting the defense right. And now their quarterback situation is, I mean, hopefully Zach Wilson really is not ready. And this isn't them just being like, oh, we're choosing, you know, door number three and it's Joe freaking Flacco.
Yeah, a lot to say here, strangely enough. You mentioned the defense. They're 32nd in both dropback EPA and rushing EPA allowed since week seven. Like you said, historically bad. I could not believe watching that game. I mean, here everybody's talking about, you know, cover two defenses are flummoxing the Bills and the Chiefs, and now even the Bucks are getting that narrative. Like, I guess cover two defenses are the biggest friggin' boogeyman in the entire NFL. Meanwhile, old Robert Saleh and the boys just single covering Stephon Diggs outside, cover three, all that, like, just no in-game adjustments. And Diggs is just filleting those guys on the back end. I mean, right away from the jump, you're like, oh, we've been waiting for the ceiling Stephon Diggs game. Well, it's about to happen unless the Jets adjust something. They didn't adjust all game. That's extremely concerning when your head coach is a defensive guy. But this whole season has been such a nightmare for the Jets. And I just feel like, the Flacco thing, number one, I continue to bring this up with Joe Flacco, and people on Twitter hate when I bring this up because people on Twitter are idiots, but why is Joe Flacco playing for the Jets in 2021? I know he was traded there, thanks for the breaking news, but Joe Flacco has made $160 million over the course of his career. Why does he need to make, and people say that, well, you work for money, don't you? Well, buddy, if I made 160 bucks in my career, let me tell you what, Dalton, I love you, but I'm not doing this podcast with you right now. I'm just saying that. Like, it is what it is. What is Joe Flacco doing playing for this team, number one? Why are the Jets playing Joe Flacco? It makes no sense. I'm with you, though. I just care about, like, Elijah Moore's not playing enough. That's frustrating. I agree with you. This guy is a superstar in the waiting. I think he is so underrated still to this day. And I mean, at least Joe Flacco got in there and threw a garbage time touchdown to him last week. I don't know that we can extrapolate that going forward, but it's just like, I don't love any decision that the Jets are making right now, personnel wise, game plan wise. It's just real bad vibes right now.
Yeah, stick with the Jets. I got a stat for you. Mike Clay tweets, the Jets have played 9 games this season, 13 running backs have scored 15 plus fantasy points against them. I mean, it's 1.5 per game. I mean, that's just wild. So I'd fire up Myles Gaskin with confidence. I know he hasn't exactly balled out the last few weeks, even struggling against the Texans run D, but he's getting all the work there. And this is just by far, by magnitudes, the worst rush D. So fire up Gaskin this week.
Yeah, I agree with you. He did get some opportunity where I think we're good with that. And, you know, basically fire up anybody on the Dolphins at this point. Like Mike Gesicki, he should rebound off the goose egg. Tua, I think, is a perfect quarterback streamer. Where would you rank Tua among court? Yeah, obviously Waddle. I think Waddle's like an every week plays 42 targets over the last four. We're coming into last week over the last four games. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I think he's an every week play. Where would you rank Tua among quarterbacks going against this defense?
Yeah, he's a borderline top 15 guy. I mean, I think it's right there in a. I could see an argument even as high as 12 or something in this matchup. Yeah. I could see him as a QB one this week. Actually, yeah. I mean, it's such a good matchup. But they might just, you know, who knows, if Flacco can't put any points on the other side, the Dolphins could actually be playing with the lead here, and it could be a Gaskin game. But yeah, all matchups look very positive when facing the Jets right now.
Yeah, I don't mind still firing up Michael Carter on the Jets side either. He's probably the only one I'm still playing with any confidence. I know that we liked the way that Mike White was checking down to him, but I still think that was mostly the function of going through the progressions, which we know Zach Wilson does not do. I think Joe Flacco can at least do that. And hey, Corey Davis can get some PI yards if Joe Flacco still wants to do that. I don't know, man. It's just weird. Isn't Joe Flacco also wearing like number 19, which is disgusting? I mean, Joe, have some self-respect, dude. It's time to retire. Get out of here. Go take your money and go home. Anyways, Joe Flacco's former team, Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, who seems to get sick with non-COVID illnesses more than anybody else in the entire NFL. I don't know what's up with that, but he was sent home from practice with a non-COVID illness, so keep your eye on that. The bigger story here, Le'Veon Bell was released. I said all year that it's crazy that, like, Le'Veon Bell, it just shows how far he has fallen, how quickly things can happen for running backs. Like, this guy used to legitimately be one of the two or three best talents at the position, and he was playing for a team in Baltimore that needed running back help, and literally nobody cared. And now he's been dropped, you know, here at this point. I think we've kind of gotten some clarity in this backfield that Devonta Freeman is sort of the guy, but we'll see what happens when Latavius Murray gets back in there eventually.
Yeah, it's Freeman for now. I'm more interested in Bateman in this. Your guy, TJ Hernandez, has a nice tweet showing run funnel, pass funnel defenses right now, and the Bears are up there as far as pass funnel. Sammy Watkins was flat out bad last week, Watkins. So I don't know. I'm really, really interested in Bateman as a cheaper DFS option this week. But yeah, the running backs, I mean, I can't believe that Devonta Freeman's last man standing. But yeah, it does. I'm still waiting for Tyson Williams to reemerge there, but I guess he's so bad in pass protection. But I'm more interested in that passing attack moving forward, albeit, you know, coming off that, you know, a downer game against Miami. Hopefully Lamar is back healthy and they have a get right game against a pass funnel Bears defense.
Yeah, I will just let what you said stand on Rashad Bateman, because if I started talking about Rashad Bateman, we'd be here for probably another hour, because, oh my God, that guy is unbelievably good. But more on that later on. Anyways, another quarterback story here. Kyler Murray is back at practice. I anticipated he was probably going to play all along in a pretty important NFC West matchup with the Seattle Seahawks. So it looks like we'll get Kyler back this week, maybe DeAndre Hopkins too. But that's great news for a Cardinals offense. Like, Colt McCoy got injured last week. I don't even know, like, who the hell this third stringer is that they've got there, but obviously good to avoid that situation.
Yeah, can I say I really love James Conner this week, coming off a bad game. People are disappointed in him, but he's still going to be the feature back. Seattle has allowed the second most fantasy points to running backs. And Murray, he may play, but he'll be, you know, compromised maybe with that ankle injury and maybe no Hopkins. So I could see a big game coming from James Conner.
Yeah, and I've always liked the way that Cliff Kingsbury calls rushing plays. So I think that's a good week to fire him up for sure, really juice up the expectations. Another quarterback story, little less important, but Jared Goff sounds pretty highly questionable. Didn't participate in practice today, Wednesday. Dan Campbell, dude, if you thought like Anthony Lynn was a run heavy coach, Dan Campbell just, apparently he took over more offensive play calling duties, like had more of a say in the thing. They ran DeAndre Swift like 30 plus times against the Steelers, like one of the best run defenses in the entire NFL last week. So I don't really think that the Lions, who, by the way, also from a percentage standpoint, far and away lead the NFL in percentage of their yards coming after the catch. Like, this is just basically DeAndre Swift and nothing else in the Lions offense. If we're going like down to Tim Boyle or David Blau, not great for the Lions passing game.
And now we need to worry about DeAndre Swift. The new shoulder injury had him limited in practice, but hopefully he's okay coming off, you know, that heavy, heavy workload. The man leads the NFL in high value touches by a wide margin. This Lions situation matters a lot to me. My $6 million survivor pool is down to 173 people. So it's starting to get kind of real. I mean, I love this Lions team last week. Knocked out half the pool last week, who was locked in, the Steelers, before the news of Big Ben breaking Saturday night. It was very unfortunate for them. And then a double whammy when they had to find out that a tie does indeed count as a loser. So, and now...
Who'd you have last week?
We had the Cowboys. We had the Cowboys. Nice. It was a rare week that we didn't, you know, sweat it out. It's been a lot of heart attack-inducing ones. But so now we're... Thinking possibly Browns this week is why I say this. So Tim Boyle, a total unknown. I read he had 12 touchdowns and 26 interceptions in college. I do not believe that was a joke. But yeah, I mean, there's David Blau and Goff playing with the hurt oblique. So yeah, I mean, the Lions quarterback situation doesn't look great. And the Browns, converse, coming off, you know, an ugly outing, should be their quote-unquote get-right game. But they're dealing with a ton of injuries on offense themselves, not just Nick Chubb's status uncertain, but Donovan Peoples-Jones left practice injured on Wednesday, and Baker Mayfield says he's, you know, the most beat up that he's ever been. So a lot of injuries, on, especially on the offensive skill position side, on both sides of the ball here in Cleveland. Yeah, and DeAndre Swift, too.
Yeah, I mean, what's the over-under in that game? Give me the under. I mean, give me a break. By the way, I love how I started off this podcast saying that, like, hey, if I had made Joe Flacco money, I'm not doing this podcast with you anymore, Dalton. Sounds like you're the one who's about to be coming into some riches here with the Survivor thing. I might not be seeing you on this podcast anymore after a few weeks.
Yeah, it feels like we've come so far because it started with 4,500 people. But still, like, if you joined a pool with 175 people at the beginning of the year, that still feel massive. So have a long way to go. But yeah, it's been super exciting. And it's pretty crazy, you know, down to 175 people, $6 million. So suffice it to say, the most interested I've been getting on Sundays is whoever I have in Survivor that given week.
No kidding. I'm sure your eyes are freaking glued to that game. So, well, if you have to pick this one. My friend, I don't know. Maybe I would avoid that. Maybe I'd avoid that just for the sake that you don't have to watch it. But we'll see what happens there. I think this storyline is pretty interesting. Miles Sanders designated to return from IR. I feel like we've talked about it on this show or you know, one of the many podcasts or whatever. The Eagles have completely flipped their philosophy, basically almost kind of coinciding with Miles Sanders leaving, which is strange to me. The Eagles ranked 32nd in neutral pass rate since week 7. We know that they were like top 6 in that metric early on in the season. They're like a run first team, which is great. I think that's how they should be built. I just think it's a little strange that they've done this, you know, after Miles Sanders has left. Like, they've done this with Jordan Howard, Boston Scott, you know, Kenny Gainwell, like lightly sprinkled in there. I kind of wonder, I have a couple of thoughts here. Like, one, do you think this says anything about Miles Sanders? I know they kind of started to try to get him going in the game that he got injured, so maybe it doesn't. Do you think it says anything about Miles Sanders? And also, do you expect him to just suddenly be inheriting this whole workload to himself? Because if he is, like, he's going to be a league winner second half of the season. But if not, he still could be mixing in with Jordan Howard, Boston Scott, and this crew there.
And not a bad week to miss this week, too. Saints number one in run defense, DVOA. I thought of you reading a nerd tweet recently with Elo putting Jalen Hurts in like the 82nd percentile as far as rookie QBs at this X many starts to their career. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Don't write off Jalen Hurts just yet.
Honestly, you might be right. And I feel like I was kind of harsh. Someone made the point, too, that like, you know how Mac Jones is like coming on kind of right now. It's like his 10th career start. Like, this is Jalen Hurts, like, is on that same timeline. So I don't know. Totally. Maybe we've all been, and I'm pointing the finger at myself here because I'm a frustrated like Devontae Smith fan. Maybe I've been a little too harsh on Jalen Hurts to start his career.
Devonta Smith, very encouraging though lately. So over the last 4 games, 28.2 target share, top 10, 41.3% air yardage share. So he's looking encouraging. But circling back to Miles Sanders, I can't guarantee he will become the main back with all these guys there. But I mean, Boston Scott, Jordan Howard, you know, not overly exciting. And very encouragingly that they have gone from pass heavy to the most extreme run heavy team in football. So if you have Sanders, it's possible. If you still have the ability to possibly make your fantasy playoffs, he could be one of those quote unquote league winners because of the new situations. And theoretically should have fresh legs down the stretch. So you are happy to see this change in offensive philosophy while Sanders has been sitting on your IR. No question.
Yeah, like I said, it's good for the health of the offense. This is what the flower man, Nick Sirianni, should have been doing the whole time. I don't know why it took him so long to come to this realization. Like, we don't need Jalen Hurts in the 2020 Colts offense. That's enough of that. You brought up Devontae Smith. I just really wanted to ask you this. Like, so Dallas Goedert, he's a little questionable for Sunday after suffering a concussion last week. Devontae Smith is looking great, but man, the Saints just shut down number one receivers. Like the top, they're becoming a team where like you just got to try to find the number two guy and start them against the Saints. It'd be nice this week to do that, but like, dude, Jalen Reagor is dust. He's not good. Not, it's like, my God, embarrassing out there, Jalen Reagor. Quez Watkins, any temptation to play a guy like Quez Watkins, or is this a week we see the Jalen Hurts experience not look so good because Devontae Smith is going to be blanketed?
No, I think there is temptation to play guys like Quez because Saints have the number one run defense. I mean, they're tough to run against. Yeah. Eagles are going to be forced to throw. I will say this. The Saints also are allowing the fewest yards per play on the road this year. I mean, that defense is good, so it's not like it's a smash spot or anything. But we did just see them shut down A.J. Brown, although GameScript contributed to that, and Mike Evans. So you're totally right about this number one receiver situation. But overall, they've allowed the sixth most fantasy points to receivers just probably because of GameScript. So Quez is an interesting flyer, and I am firing up Devontae Smith, but you do realize that it's possible that that is a thing and the number one receiver is just going to get shut down again. But given his like over that past month, he's also number six in yards per route run, the rookie. So I'm still starting him, and I have him ranked as a top 20 fantasy wideout this week.
He is so good, man. I mean, all this rookie class is really good. I know I said it about like the 2020 class, 2019 class is great, but
wow. I'm just looking at my rankings right now. Devontae Smith 17 and Waddle 19. Yeah, I mean, look at that. I mean, away, two top 20 guys. Sorry, yeah. And then Pittman, I confused that he's not quite a rookie, but the young class looking good. But yeah, the rookie class. I mean, and Jamar Chase is obviously above him too there. So yeah, what, three rookies in the top 20 this week? Easy, yeah. Like it.
Yeah, and like guys like Elijah Moore and Rashad Bateman haven't even like fully broken out yet, but those guys are just as good as, I mean, if not even potential. I don't know. Let's enough of that. Let's not get crazy here. All right, Elijah Mitchell, your guy, San Francisco. Dalton, our Niners crushed it. Unbelievable. That was a great game. Elijah Mitchell was looking good, but he has broke his finger. He might not miss any time. Kyle Shanahan sounds like he really wants him to play. Maybe he can get Russ's like 19-hour rehab schedule, not sleep at all, and get out there. I don't know, for his finger injury. But what happens if Elijah Mitchell doesn't play? I mean, we know Trey Sermon's not going to play, but what happens if Elijah Mitchell is not out there?
I think either way, Jeff Wilson's a flex play this week with Hasty hurt. Wilson is the preferred passing down back anyway, and even maybe goal line guy. Mitchell had a pin placed in his finger, so very questionable if he can play or even, you know, how close to 100% or what kind of limited snaps he'll see. So I like Jeff Wilson in a matchup in which they're near touchdown favorites now after that surprise. I didn't see that coming. Certainly not a blowout in that fashion against a Rams team that had just lost. But secretly, you know, though, the Jacksonville is not easy to run against. They're 31st pass defense DVOA, but 7th against the run. Last week, Jonathan Taylor looked like he was going to have a monster game in the first quarter. But even with the 17-0 GameScript lead, he was shut down over the final 3 weeks. So it's not really a great matchup for running backs, as you would think on paper. So I do like Jeff Wilson as a flex play regardless. And Mitchell, if he's active, you're playing him. At least it's a morning game. You don't have to wait for the Niners, usually the afternoon game. So you'll know at least before you have to set your lineup.
That is a good point. Yeah, I think Jeff Wilson needs to be, he's probably pretty close, but he needs to be like 100% rostered at this point for sure. And hey, I think we'll probably see more of Debo in the backfield, which is good because his target share is just not going to be the same with George Kittle and Ayuk out there. We've seen that now over the last 2 weeks, but getting him those running back looks is just like a great way to keep his production. What a freak show Debo Samuel is. I mean, I think at this point, one of the biggest mistakes that I made this offseason was just like not taking his 2020 season and just like lighting it on fire and completely ignoring it, because he was this, not maybe not this good, but he showed the potential to be this good in his rookie season. And then he just went into such a weird role in his sophomore season because he was hurt, that low ADOT thing. And like, I mean, he was still a very good player last year, but man, I just wish I had just like completely ignored that 2020 season for Debo and like only evaluated him based on 2019.
Yeah, I was worried about that Jones fracture, but wow, he looked. I honestly didn't see him becoming this good down the field, too. I mean, I like all the yards after the catch, but he's also downfield. He's a contested catch. He's been pretty impressive. So one upside here with the Niners, I know you don't love it with Jimmy G, but when you do their combined target share of the top three players, only the Bengals are more concentrated than Kittle, Ayuk, and Samuel. So at least you like to see that with the 49ers, you know, a defense that, you know, has not quite been as dominant. So where do you think the 49ers offense ranks in DVOA on this season?
I'm sure by the way you're bringing it up, it's top 10.
What if I told you third?
Really? Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy for all of like the, you know, moaning that we've been doing in like fantasy spaces and, you know, all the heat on Shanahan. But no one's given heat on Shanahan because we don't think he's a great play caller. It's all the other stuff.
How funny is this? They're sandwiched between the Buccaneers, Rams, Cowboys, and Chiefs. Niners right in between there.
Jeez.
Offense DVOA. Pretty funny, right? Yeah. I mean, I heard a lot of people calling the Niners just doormats 2 days ago before that Monday night game. It's pretty wild. Interesting stuff. Anyway.
Well, I'm glad we let you have your victory lap there, buddy.
No, they'll probably have a million fumbles and turnovers and lose again this week. But I mean, there were some spots in Vegas where they were 225-1. I saw to win the Super Bowl, and you know they're now, you know, half a game out of a playoff spot with some interesting underlying metrics. Let's just say that. Yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, I think their offense is in pretty good shape. Like, hey, buddy, we ain't seen Trey Lance out there anytime soon with Jimmy playing like this. That ain't happening.
Yeah. All right. That's a whole other story, Trey. But anyway, what's next?
That is a whole nother story. Let's not bring down the Niners mood here, but let's go into our stats of the week. I got to start this off. You know, we talked about the Niners. I spent way too much time talking about them this offseason. I definitely spent a lot of time thinking and talking and writing about Antonio Gibson and drafting a lot of Antonio Gibson. So Dalton, I need to take your temperature after this past week. 26 touches for Antonio Gibson. That was a season high, his mark from last week. 63% of the snaps. That was his highest since week one. He also ran 15 routes last week. Jarrett Patterson, that went back to like completely not being a thing. So, and this was all against Tampa Bay, who allowed the fewest rush attempts in the entire NFL coming into this week. Last week. So what are we doing with this game from Antonio Gibson? I know he wasn't like efficient on the ground or anything, but he still got the goal line work. I think the fact that Brandon Scherff is back is a huge deal. A couple other offensive linemen got back. Like theoretically Washington can only be getting healthier, and maybe they patched up their issues in the back end in the secondary, which might lend to just games not getting completely, you know, games like getting Gibson game scripted out.
And this week, Carolina's been a lot tougher against the pass than the run. One takeaway might just be coming out of the bye that he got healthier, Gibson, I mean, with that workload. So it's very encouraging. You'd love to see a bit more targets. But, it's very encouraging. He's locked and loaded as a top 20 guy. You're starting him this week even in a matchup that doesn't look great on paper. I mean, that Carolina defense can be impressive at times. But, yeah, you're excited with Gibson coming off the bye and to see that type of increased workload.
Yeah, if you had to, like, desperation start him, which – raising my hand here for the podcast, folks. I did have to desperation start him last week. Like, I think you're going back to him again this week for sure.
Yeah.
I think the matchup is right. The workload is right. And the fact that the offensive line is getting healthier, I think, is a bigger deal too. It's just like everything that has gone wrong or could go wrong has gone wrong for Antonio Gibson this year. I say that all the time, but I think some of the things are starting to point in the right direction, which is a good sign.
Yeah, I thought McKissick was the sneaky play last week with Tampa, all the targets. But no, Gibson was the guy. And McLaurin is banged up, by the way. Sorry, I wanted to add that. McLaurin dealt with this collarbone issue in and out last week. He made a great – he got fired up after he took a hard hit at the end of that game. But it doesn't look like Logan Thomas is returning, and Ricky Seals-Jones is banged up too. So point being, Antonio Gibson, it might be just the entire centerpiece of Washington's offense this week.
I cannot believe – I know I said this with Liz on the Sunday show, but I can't believe like how things have changed for this Washington offense. Like, think of the guys that we were all so excited to see over the summer. Now it's like Antonio Gibson. What's left of Antonio Gibson and the preseason boys out there? It's a tough scene. If Terry McLaurin does not suit up, that's even worse. You mentioned the Carolina Panthers, Washington football team's week 11 opponent. The Panthers have seen not quite as drastic as what we've seen with the Eagles, but pretty close. The Carolina Panthers ranked 31st in neutral pass rate since week 7. I wanted to just touch on their offense overall. Cam Newton, what are your expectations for Cam Newton going into this matchup with Washington that prior to last week we thought was a very attackable defense? Does he bring back any life to guys like DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Christian McCaffrey, man? I mean, Christian McCaffrey's like ceding a bunch of work to Chuba Hubbard, Amir Abdullah, and Cam Newton's, you know, vulturing him at the goal line. The guy still just piles up fantasy points.
Yeah, 10 targets, and he sat out the fourth quarter, basically. Just, yeah, crazy. Top five fantasy back without scoring touchdowns. I your guess is as good as mine with Cam. I mean, I ranked him as a top 15 fantasy QB this week because of the rushing, but I'm very curious to see how he performs as a passer this year. So I'm not, like, overly pumped if I have DJ Moore. But, yeah, this isn't – I mean, it's the matchup is seemingly right with Washington allowing the most fantasy points to opposing QBs, but it might be a little different here because this game plan is going to be very, very run-heavy. You said they were already run-heavy before, but now enter Cam Newton at QB. It's going to be, rivaling the league lead moving forward.
Yeah, we'll see what this pass game looks like with Cam Newton. I mean, I thought Cam looked pretty good as a passer in the preseason. All the reports out of training camp from New England was that his shoulder looked a lot better than it did last year. And, I mean, that's kind of been the problem with Cam Newton even since 2018. Like, when he started that year off, and it was like, oh, man, Cam's completion percentage is, like, career high. And then it just, like, his arm basically just fell the F off, like, at the end of the year. And I think the same thing 2020 with New England has that unbelievable Seahawks game, right? And then by the end of the year, it's like the guy was, you know, like, dragging his shoulder to the finish line. I wonder if, like, Cam just being like, hey, I'm gonna play football until week 11. I don't know. Maybe his arm is a little fresher than what we're, like, our most recent memory.
Yeah, I know. And he had to deal with COVID last year or two in the middle of the season. He said he never fully recovered from that. No, and it's a big deal. Like, McCaffrey is certainly one of the running backs that matters. So this is an interesting team because they're just so loaded on defense. So, I mean, yeah, I'm curious to see how Cam, Superman looked back last week. So it was cool to see.
Their cornerback room, I know this doesn't matter for fantasy, but their cornerback room is ridiculous, dude. Like, they have Stephon Gilmore. They're not even, obviously, J.C. Horn is out. He was the eighth overall pick. God, how great.
Oh, they could have Fields.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was going to say. Could even add Mac Jones. I mean, for God's sakes. Like,
totally. Yeah. Either. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. No, yeah. AJ Boye. I mean, yeah, no, totally loaded Gilmore now. I mean, it's
CJ Henderson.
Loaded secondary. Yeah.
Dante Jackson, like the guy they've had for several years. Yeah. It's like, who has like four cornerbacks that people can name off the top of their head?
Right, right.
Nobody. So, like, this is just a loaded group of cornerbacks there. So that is interesting. Yeah, I think this team's pretty good. Their pass protection is going to be an issue. I could see Cam taking some hits. That's for sure. But let me tell you what, as a long-suffering – I'm not a fan of – won't say the word fan with Carolina Panthers, but adjacent observer to the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton's used to getting whooped behind a bad offensive line at Carolina. So it should be pretty much business as usual. Another team that's kind of flipped in the opposite direction of the Eagles and Panthers in terms of their neutral pass rate is the Bengals, who rank seventh in neutral pass rate since week seven. I keep saying week seven because it's basically just like the last month, right? More recent history here. I think the Bengals are interesting to talk about coming off their bye week. Feel like they've been a little bit forgotten, you know, but the underlying usage metrics, targets, air yards, snaps, routes run are all really good for T. Higgins. I still feel like T. Higgins is a little bit of a buy low. And I mean, Jamar Chase is just walking right back into a great role as well. And for Joe Mixon, we just kind of need them to use him as a receiver.
Yeah, when they've all been on the field, Higgins and Chase have been about equal as far as targets, and Boyd a distant third. I thought he'd be a little better in PPR this season. But yeah, no, Chase and Higgins for sure remains a buy low. Feels like I've been saying that for a month, but I still feel it to be true. And you like the, especially with this, them going the pass rate. And it makes so much sense, too, that they open the season going run heavy, considering Burrow was recovering from major offseason surgery and, you know, had the horrible preseason that scared some people away. So it makes sense. And now they're going back to pass heavy. And it should be some nice fantasy stats down the stretch for Higgins, Burrow, Chase, and Mixon.
Raiders, Steelers, Chargers, and 49ers, their next four games. Not the worst schedule in the world. I mean, this one against the Raiders. Hey, I mentioned Robert Saleh off the top about not adjusting to an in-game plan. Yeah. Gus
All
Bradley, another
yeah.
another offshoot to the 40 or the old Seahawks defenses. These dinosaurs can't adjust their like cover three looks and you're just getting filleted by the Chiefs. I mean, that was tough to watch. And, you know, if there's another team that's going to attack you vertically, Joe Burrow's throwing the ball downfield. Joe Burrow's throwing the ball downfield to Jamar Chase extremely well. I feel like Jamar Chase, I don't know what his DFS salary is, but I feel like he could be a little bit of a sneaky play coming off the bye for like an eruption spot here.
Yeah, I thought the Raiders were going to be more competitive against KC last week. That was ugly. Yeah, no, their defense had some real interesting and underlying stuff, you know, getting to the quarterback pressure rate without blitzing. But boy, Mahomes rebounded in a big way in that primetime game.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Daniel Jones. Whenever you can talk about Daniel Jones, you got to do it. Daniel Jones has the fourth highest expected completion percentage over the last month. He's actually 2.8% over expectation. So I think that kind of just goes to show they've really, you know, given him some layups there. He's not just like run and gun the ball downfield. He's been completing passes above expectation, which is good. It just shows he's been playing pretty well. I wanted to talk about Daniel Jones because it's like, look, this should be the first time that we get the Giants with all their guys back, right? You know, from a skill position standpoint, like, when have we seen these four receivers all together and operating at the height of their powers? Kenny Galladay, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Kadarius Toney. Saquon probably takes the field Monday night against the Bucks. What are your expectations for this crew, man? Because this is a very crowded unit and all guys that theoretically should win in different ways.
I like Daniel Jones, sleeper fantasy, because he runs himself, and you cannot run the football on the Bucks, and it's obviously Saquon's likely first game back, but Tampa Bay secondary is decimated. I mean, go through all the lists, but Sherman's now also, they desperate signed for depth, and now he's going to miss multiple weeks. So they're dealing with a lot of injuries in the back end in Tampa Bay, and obviously we both like Toney has looked really good. Another rookie receiver that's impressed. You look, I think he's top three in yards per route run among those impressive rookies. So it's unfortunate. Hopefully we'll get some clarity because it's a Monday night game, because your guy Sterling Shepard would be useful in this matchup in a PPR format. But it could go from being having no one to suddenly overly crowded as far as fantasy is concerned. Yeah. If Galladay, Shepard, and Toney and Slayton and Barkley and Ingram are all healthy at once.
I feel like Galladay, who's $15 in our daily fantasy game, for a single game contest, is a great play against, you know, those outside cornerbacks who have just been just decimated, like you mentioned, by injuries. Galladay ran 20 routes the last time we saw them play, three targets in that game, which was a high number among the wide receivers. So I feel like he's a pretty good play. I know, like, when Sterling Shepard's out there, he's just like locked and loaded as the guy that's probably going to lead the team in targets. He's their most reliable route runner. I don't really know what to think about Kadarius Toney, though. His usage has been weird. Maybe he wasn't healthy going the last two games into the bye, but barely used him. And I know nobody wants to hear this, but he's just not a refined player right now. So I wonder if that's part of the problem. Like, you can't ask him to go out there and like win routes consistently on the outside. He's just not there as a player right now. Now, they could scheme him up in ways to be like a poor man's Deebo Samuel. I think it's kind of like at this point disrespectful to compare anybody to Deebo Samuel because he's such a freak show. But you could use Toney, who is also like a freak show after the catch. He's very like rare movement skills in the open field. But I just don't – I have like no confidence in playing him right now, even in a great matchup, because I don't know how they're going to use him. Like, it would surprise me – it wouldn't surprise me if he went out there and got 10 opportunities. It also wouldn't surprise me if he had two again, you know, in like a very weird role, because Jason Garrett like can't quite figure out how to deploy this player.
Now, given his uncertain usage and maybe all those mouths to feed, he's a better bench stash right now in fantasy than a play. Although the Giants may have to pass a ton in this, he can't run against Tampa Bay and they're 11-point dogs. But I'm with you with Toney. He's a risky play with all those healthy bodies and uncertain amount of targets. Saquon Barkley, though, are you firing him up as long as it looks like he's good to go? Yeah, even in a tougher matchup on paper.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the one thing that does make me feel good is that in the two games prior to that it was like a fluke ankle injury, right, against the Cowboys. He did have 13 targets in the two games prior combined, which maybe that's going to be tough to come by with all these receivers healthy, but still I think he can get himself a pretty decent floor as a receiver out of the backfield. We've seen goofballs like Miles Gaskin do that against the Bucks, so that does make me feel pretty good about firing Saquon up. All right, cool. AJ Dillon, let's end on this note from the stats before we preview Thursday night. I mean, Dalton, I'm just like obsessed with AJ Dillon. I'm so excited to watch this guy play. He ranks 7th in yards after contact per attempt among running backs with 90 plus carries. The Vikings rank 31st in rushing EPA per allowed over the last month. This looks like just such a perfect smash spot for AJ Dillon. The question, Dalton, is not, is AJ Dillon a top 10 back? Because I think he is a top 10 back, but I know you're a guy that gets excited. I know you're a guy that can get really high on these young guys. So tell me, how high are we ranking AJ Dillon here in week 11?
Yeah, no, Danielle Hunter. I have him as my fifth or sixth back this week or moving forward. He could be as high as one or two in certain matchups, even at home against Detroit or something. I could see myself putting him number one now. Buddy. But it's the same tier. I really like James Conner this week and in that same matchup, Dalvin Cook in a high scoring game. But I have AJ Dillon ranked ahead of my guy Jonathan Taylor this week. Let's put it that way. So in a tough matchup in Buffalo. But AJ Dillon, man, he can catch the ball. We saw him do that 50-yard catch and run after the play last week. Obviously no Aaron Jones, luckily not out for the season for Aaron Jones, but with Aaron Rodgers likely playing better this week and I expect a high scoring game indoors and Dillon to go crazy, you know, get some targets and be the goal line guy. And he's literally, the workout metrics matches Derrick Henry's. I mean, the guy is huge and fast and athletic and really, really good at football. So you're going to be excited to see him get a feature back role over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I like, don't say this to disparage Aaron Jones at all, because I think Aaron Jones is a great player, but it wouldn't surprise me if like AJ Dillon was just the 1A of that committee next year. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I think he's that good. And they basically, and I say committee because like AJ Dillon, this is why he's a flex with benefits type of guy. He's been getting legit work even before this injury.
And with no Kylan Hill, who is the rookie who's kind of impressing as a receiver, I don't think it's controversial to say that A.J. Dillon right now has more fantasy value than Aaron Jones did a week ago, because Aaron Jones is splitting with A.J. Dillon. So
there's no A.J. Dillon to compete with A.J. Dillon, right?
Exactly. So I think A.J. Dillon now has more fantasy value than Aaron Jones did even a week ago. So that's quite valuable.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, the back half of like the top 10 of running backs, it's like, it's pretty tough to rank. You can't really rank him ahead of like Christian McCaffrey or Dalvin Cook or I think even like Najee Harris and Nick Chubb and even Zeke.
Exactly.
You know, Kansas City. But then you're looking at him versus like Jonathan Taylor. You're looking at him versus Alvin Kamara, who looks like he's going to play, but going against the Eagles, who get shredded by pass catching back. So there's that. But it's like, it's a Trevor Siemian offense, bro. Give me a break. Austin Eckler against the Steelers. Like, yeah, give me AJ Dillon over those guys. Like, we're talking about AJ Dillon and James Conner as like RB7-8 type of range, I think. And that feels pretty good to me.
Yeah, no, I'm all in. It's should be a nice couple of stretch here for those who stashed him. But Aaron Jones could be back for fantasy playoffs. It looked like for a while they were crying coming out of the tent. It looked like medical tent. It looked like, you know, he might have lost him for the season. So, he'll theoretically come back after the bye, maybe with fresh legs over the fantasy playoffs too.
The bye week is crucial because he does have a history of MCL injuries. So it's worth noting that. But yeah, the bye week being there, I would I know they gave a 1 to 2 week timeline. It would kind of surprise me if he came back in 2 weeks. Like I expect him to just sit through the bye, which like 3 or 2 weeks of AJ Dillon, like that's going to be pretty much fireworks there. So we'll see what happens. Let's talk about the Thursday night game this week. New England Patriots at Atlanta Falcons. Whew, buddy. The big news here, Damian Harris cleared to play. He's going to be back out there, so we'll talk about the backfield in a second. Cordarrelle Patterson might play. He's a game-time decision. If CPAT, let's operate in a world for a second. Let's talk Falcons because it should be a quick discussion. Let's talk Falcons before we talk Patriots. Let's just imagine a world where Cordarrelle Patterson doesn't play. Am I stupid for thinking like Mike Davis actually might not be the worst like desperation flex player in our DFS game for single game contest? He's $11. And I know Wayne Gallman got carries last week. Wayne Gallman was out there with like the Josh Rosen offense. Arthur Smith even said it himself. Like, we played on Thursday, so I had to get like Josh Rosen and Wayne Gallman in there. So I don't know. I thought I kind of came away with from that being like, I know Mike Davis has not been good this year. I know he got out carried by Wayne Gallman, but I actually felt okay about Mike Davis after hearing that.
That was actually my only take from this was that it's like, I like Mike Davis at $11, even cheaper than Gallman because of that quote. Exactly. It's like we had all our backups in. That's when Gallman came in. We knew we were going to play a short week is literally what they said. Yeah. So I think Davis is going to go back to being the main back, and with no CPAT, absolutely like him quite a bit at 11. My question to you is, who would you use in superstar, Mac Jones or Damian Harris? Even, I mean, Jones is $6 more, but now that we know it's Harris, you know, I mean, but I mean, Stevenson could mix. I mean, that's the real question there. What do you do with this New England backfield? I mean, that Stevenson just looked like so, so good last week, but now Harris has already been cleared. Will Stevenson still get some receptions? That's the key there, because this New England team, man, they look suddenly like a threat to go deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think I'd use Mac Jones ahead of any of the running backs there in the superstar spot. Like, Mac Jones has played pretty well over the last two games, completing like 75% of his passes, 8 yards per attempt, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. I think the game is like kind of starting to slow down for him. And Atlanta stinks, dude. They're 31st in defensive DVOA. You can beat them any which way. So I think Mac Jones is probably the safest pick at the superstar spot. But yeah, on the running back room, what are you doing with these guys? Like, I think here's how I look at this. Brandon Bolden is going to keep that like passing down role, because he's and like the 2 minute, you know, very JD McKissick ish, which is like 2 minute drills, hurry up, obvious pass situations. Bolden's going to be out there. Stevenson looked good as a receiver. Like, he's going to get some targets thrown his way. That's good for him, but he's not just going to, there's no scenario in which he just erases Brandon Bolden. That feels like a non-starter to me. I also feel like there's no way that, you know, it's kind of like, Melvin Gordon in Denver. Like, I keep saying to people, I think Javonte Williams looks great. All the metrics are there for him, but the real life Denver Broncos are not going to go to the real life Melvin Gordon and be like, sorry, buddy, you're not playing anymore, because this guy's just, Melvin Gordon hasn't lost that job. I don't think Damian Harris has done enough to lose his job to Ramondre Stevenson, who also looks good. So that's kind of the split we're looking at. And that's a tough split to deal with.
Yeah, it is. Although this offensive line getting healthier, it looks like it could be quite a productive rushing attack. But yeah, it could be very annoying for fantasy managers. Poor Matt Ryan. No Calvin Ridley. Oh, looks God, like yeah. Probably no Patterson. And this is the patented Belichick shut down opposing's number one guy, Kyle Pitts. So where in the world is Matt Ryan going to go to? But, you know, he can't play worse than last week. So I expect Atlanta to maybe be competitive, you know, a buy low, sell high situation with New England looking so good last week, too. But man, these Belichick teams that just improved throughout the seasons, and he's just doing it yet again here with the best looking rookie QB and a defense and an offensive line that looks you know, underrated.
Yeah, I think it's thin to play either New England running back, but I think you can maybe get away with it just because you mentioned it. Like, this team is going to establish the hell out of the run. Like, they're, and from an EPA per play standpoint, they rank second in offensive success rate overall since week 7. Like, this offense is kind of coming along. The line is there. I could see, especially in this particular matchup against this Falcons defense, I could see both Harris and Stevenson being right around like 14, 15 touches, you know, mostly on the ground for Damian Harris, and maybe, you know, 12 carries to 3 catches for Stevenson. That's probably not going to be the case every week, but if you could get away with playing two mostly early down bangers from one offense, it might be the Patriots. I think Stevenson might just be their best back, but I don't know that the Patriots agree with me on that. So that's, it's kind of who cares. On the Kyle Pitts thing, I'm glad you brought that up. Where are you at with Kyle Pitts, man? We talked about on the podcast like 4 weeks ago, like, we would trade Travis Kelce for Kyle Pitts plus like a T. Higgins type. That take might not be aging so well, buddy. So what are we doing with Kyle Pitts? And I know I know the defensive matchups have been bad, but like you mentioned, Belichick is probably going to try to take away these guys.
Yeah, it's been frustrating. It hasn't gone as planned, and this week might not be great either. And Kelsey's been obviously better. I still am going to treat Kyle Pitts as a top three tight end moving forward. And I think I just saw that he had the second highest yards per route run among rookie tight ends ever or something. So I mean, he's getting it done out there. But it hasn't been great with the corner. There's been big splits when he's had the corners on him. We'll see without Ridley moving forward. I think it's still a net positive, but it has not gone as we had hoped. He hasn't lit the world on fire. I mean, Matt Ryan laid that was so ugly last week. That was bad. I didn't mind it as a Cowboys backer in Survivor, but man, that was ugly. Matt Ryan had the highest QBR over the previous 5 weeks before that stinker. But yeah, I still think Kyle Pitts is going to be a star. It may take next year. Yeah. Could be the final 2 months of this year, one or the other.
Yeah, I think the no Ridley thing is really hurting Kyle Pitts, because he's just the only threat in the passing game to take away. And now this is one saving grace. I found this, dug this up while doing my single game daily fantasy piece. In week 10, Kyle Pitts took 21.7% of his snaps out wide after being 40% in weeks 7 to 9. I think that's important because, like, it's so much easier to take a guy away when they're just lining up out wide. You can just throw like a corner on him. You could double cover a guy outside. It's much harder to do that when they're like an inline tight end. Now, he's still running a lot of routes from the slot, which is good. But yeah, I think we're in business though with Kyle Pitts. Like, you're still playing him in season long, and like $17 in daily fantasy, I actually don't think is too bad either.
Yeah, I mean, the target should be there. The other options are Russell Gage, Tajae Sharp, Zaccheaus. I mean, it's not great without Patterson. I mean, without Patterson, really was a nice playmaker. I mean, Patterson really was an interesting developing into a really nice weapon. So you lose Ridley and Patterson. I mean, yeah, Pitts is going to see a lot of defensive attention, but how does he not see double-digit targets Thursday night?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Anything on like the pass catchers in New England? Hunter Henry's been on fire, touchdown in six of his last seven games, and scored twice last week. Season high snap rate last week as well, with Jonnu Smith being inactive.
Yeah, Henry's getting it done, but priced as such, even more than Pitts in this. You could go, Kendrick Bourne is getting it done too, but it's just, you know, it's never really know. I mean, Jacoby Myers I like more in full PPR than I do Yahoo's half PPR, but it's nice to see him finally score. But no, I don't really have a strong take in the receivers. It seems it's tough, you know, they mix it around a little bit too much. But if I'm going to start one of them, it would be Myers. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Myers, I think, is their best player and getting the layup looks for the most part. But yeah, it's pretty thin. It's pretty thin there, that passing game. But with Mac Jones playing better, you know, maybe we'll see some more coming out of this game. But yeah, no, it's a mildly interesting game, despite the fact that Atlanta is just, I mean, such bad shape personnel wise. We'll have to see what happens there. But Dalton, that's going to do it for us. What do you got cooking up this week?
I have a preview pod this week with Scott Pianowski filling in for Liz Loza in my Sit Start column Friday. And this, some big survivor decisions. So I'm going to be pretty pumped up. I guess I'm probably leaning toward rooting against the Tim Boyle experience for now, but we'll see how that goes.
Well, you got to let me know who you pick so I know how to root this weekend as well. But that is going to do it for us. We'll keep the conversation going on Twitter. Follow me at @MattHarmon_BYB and Dalton @DaltonDelDon. If you want fantasy analysis and news updates from the whole team, give a follow to @YahooFantasy. While you're waiting to see who Dalton is sweating on his survivor pick, you can check out the College Football Inquirer. Dan Wetzel, Pete Thamel, and SI's Pat Forty react to the wildest coaching carousel season they have ever seen on the latest episode. Look for it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And of course, as Dalton just mentioned, he's going to be back tomorrow with a preview of Sunday's NFL games with Scott Pianowski. Until then, we are out.